you want to spruce up, tighten up your finances, and get a handle on that, it'd be a great class to be a part of. Worship team, thank you. You did a great job today. We appreciate it. If you've come prepared to give tithes and offerings, there's a couple boxes back there or some digital ways that you can give. It is good to be home. When our plane touched down in Atlanta, when we came back, I just said, thank you, Lord. Back in the good old U.S. of A. Hallelujah. There's no place like... This is the greatest nation on the earth, in my opinion. But I am a little biased. Hallelujah. But we did... I think we did have a fruitful ministry time. Well, that's interesting. This is not my doing. I didn't know nothing about this. Yeah, mighty warrior, mighty hunter. That's me, all right. Sean told me to bring a lion head home and mount it on the church wall somewhere, and I was like, all right, get rid of that thing. They kept us pretty busy over there. We had an opportunity to share at quite a few different venues. I was going to share some photos, but maybe I'll get it together and do that next week. But man, we shared at a women's conference, a marriage encounter, and Bobby and I just pretty much shared our life story, the good, bad, and the ugly. And this is ringing a little bit. Maybe I'm sure you're working on that. What else did we share? Oh, I had an opportunity to share at a homeless church. That was interesting. Downtown Durban. They have a homeless church, and they have as many as 400 homeless people come to that church every Sunday morning. It's an outdoor venue. It's a concrete pad. They have a metal roof over the top, but no sides. And that was kind of interesting. You know, what do you share to homeless people? That was just, and the Lord just dropped something on my heart and was able to share a little word there. And it was stretching. It was challenging. Just like the sound is right now. Hallelujah. Lord, help the sound guy. Let the anointing of the Holy Spirit come back on that sound guy. Hallelujah. One of the challenging things was when you preach at the main church that we were hosted by, you preach three times on a Sunday morning, and the first service starts at 6:45 a.m. I thought, what if we started a church service at 6:45? Who would come? Well, probably me and the worship team, and probably half of them wouldn't show up. You know, but man, that, you know, it was almost full, and then the next service was packed, and then 11 o'clock service. So it was some stretching things that were, and it's good to get stretched, you know, every once in a while. Do I need to go to a different mic? Do I need to do something different here? What's that? Getting close. Okay. You know, one of the things that was stretching, there was just all kinds of things that just stretched us. I mean, the whole thing was out of our comfort zone in a lot of different ways. But, for instance, the Monday that we left, the pastor took me to a corporation. It's a large company. I think there's 5,000 employees. It's a huge company. Trucking and asphalt and all kinds of things. And they actually hold a service every Monday morning. And however many employees that want to come, come. And they have some worship. And what I didn't know is that, you know, one of the pastors usually has a little word. And so we were standing there. And the pastor that was introducing, or me, I guess he introduced me and just opened up the service. He said, well, we're going to have some worship. And then Pastor David's going to bring a message. That was the first I heard about it. Right there. I'm bringing a message? Well, thankfully, they had like three worship songs. And in the meantime, I was praying, Lord, what do I share? And he just dropped something in my heart to share. And it all worked out. And, you know, there's just something about kind of living on the edge and getting out of the comfort zone. And God always meets you there. You know, we're just so, we just want everything just so comfortable and familiar and, you know, our ducks in a row. But God just wants to get us out of that zone because that's where the Holy Spirit shows up and things happen. And we're not dependent on us. We're dependent on Him. I mean, you get in those places and you know you're absolutely dependent on God to come through, or it's not going to happen. So maybe next week we'll see if we can get some photos together. I want to talk to you today about the power of encouragement, encouraging one another. In October 24, 1929, one of the darkest days of our nation's history, the stock market crashed, construction came to a screeching halt, agricultural prices were down 60%, unemployment was 25%, men had to wait for hours in a bread line to get food for their family. They called it the Great Depression. Now, eventually, the nation recovered from the Great Depression, but there's thousands of people today that are suffering from the Great Discouragement. In a room this size, any number of people are probably suffering or experiencing some level of discouragement, maybe from strained relationships or financial hardship or spiritual dryness or a life-draining addiction of some sort, loss of dreams, loss of ambition, just all kinds of reasons that we can get discouraged. And the truth is, discouragement touches all of our lives at some point. And if you are discouraged today, I want to encourage you, you're in some pretty good company. If you look back in the Scripture, many of the Bible characters experienced discouragement. David was one of them. David, in the Bible, man, great, mighty warrior, man after God's own heart, wrote a lot of the Psalms. But yet, at times, he experienced discouragement. Psalms 42:11. He says, he's writing in his journal, "Why are you discouraged, my soul?" He didn't even know why he was discouraged. He just knew, man, I'm discouraged. I'm down. I don't know what's going on. You ever have those days? You're just down. You're discouraged. You can't even really put your finger on it. But you just know, man, this is something. What's going on? There's a cloud over me today. Went on to say, "Why are you so restless? Put your hope in God, because I will still praise Him. He is my Savior and my God." So David knew what the solution was. It was putting his hope in God and returning to praise, and eventually that would get him out of that slump. But to discourage, the word discourage means to drain someone of courage, to dishearten, to depress the spirit, and to deprive of confidence. That's what discouragement means. And that's what David was experiencing. He had lost his courage. He had lost his confidence. Elijah was another one. Another great man of God that experienced discouragement at times. On one occasion, he had just won a major victory on Mount Carmel. I mean, destroyed 400 prophets of Baal, brought the people of Israel who had been involved in idolatry back to worship to God, back to the focus on Almighty God. Just a great victory. But then he was threatened by Jezebel, who happened to be the ruling queen of Israel at the time, an evil, evil woman. And Jezebel threatened to take his life. And so Elijah, he ran into the desert. He got so discouraged that he wanted to die. That's what he said, "Lord, I'm done. I've had enough. Just take me out." That's discouragement. When you get to the place where you just want to die, you are severely discouraged. And that's where Elijah was. He felt like a failure. And someone said, discouragement is a dark room where the negatives of failure are developed. I just thought that was an interesting quote. Discouragement is a dark room where the negatives of failure are developed. You know, we're vulnerable to discouragement at times when we feel like a failure, when we feel like we've missed opportunities, when we feel like, you know, we haven't measured up to our potential. And at times, in the quiet times of our life, our hearts, when we have a moment to just reflect and those thoughts come, and we just have those, what have I made of my life? What am I doing with my life? What significance do I have? What impact do I have on others? And when we think about, sometimes discouragement can settle in. We need to know that God is the source of encouragement. Amen? Amen? I had to encourage those folks over in South Africa. By the way, there's a lot of Christians in South Africa. I was happy to discover that. A lot of people that love Jesus, but the pastor told me that they're note takers, that they're thinkers. And I could hardly get an amen out of them. And I had to teach them that every once in a while you got to say amen to encourage the pastor. Hallelujah. Make it, you know, help him understand that he's making a connection there, you know, that you're not sleeping. And by the third service, I kind of got him going a little bit. But anyway, give me an amen every once in a while. just to encourage me. I'm talking about encouragement. I need encouragement too every once in a while. But we need to know that God is a God of encouragement. You know, it's the very nature of God to encourage. It's His very nature. He is the great encourager. Romans 15 verse 5 says, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Jesus Christ had." The God who gives, what does He give? He gives endurance, and what else does He give? Encouragement. God is the giver of encouragement. Remember that old song, "Home on the Range"? Anybody remember that song? And one of the verses that we're never as heard a discouraging word. I was tempted to sing that, but I'm not going to put you through that. "We're never as heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day." Guess what? You're never going to hear a discouraging word from God. If you hear a discouraging word, I can guarantee you it does not come from God. Because He is an encourager. And in John 16, Jesus told the disciples that He was getting ready to leave. But He was not going to leave them as orphans. He was going to send another one like Him. And in one version of the Bible, He called that person, which we know is the Holy Spirit, the Helper. The Helper. Now, the Greek word for helper is parakletos, and it means one called alongside to help, to encourage, and to comfort. That's what parakletos means. Now, it's interesting that the Greek word for encouragement comes from the same root word as the Holy Spirit, the name of the Holy Spirit, the Helper. Same root word, encouragement. The Greek word is paraklesis, and it means comfort, exhortation, consolation, and strengthening. So I believe God is communicating something very powerful here, that one of the primary roles of the Holy Spirit is to keep you and I encouraged. That's why He's in. He's not just extra baggage to carry around through life. He's in there to keep you encouraged. When you get down, the Holy Spirit's going to encourage you. When you lose hope, the Holy Spirit's in you to encourage you. And He just keeps imparting courage to your soul so that you don't lose hope in the face of negative circumstances. Your confidence doesn't collapse under pressure. So I think we got this next slide where it says encouragement is more than a positive thought. Do we have that? This is so powerful. I just ran across this somewhere, and it wasn't original with me, but I just think it's just powerful. Encouragement is more than a positive thought. It's spiritual provision given by God to sustain His people. Encouragement is how God reinforces the heart when life presses in and circumstances attempt to drain our hope. You know, it's like rebar in concrete. Rebar reinforces that concrete and keeps it solid. Encouragement reinforces the human heart. And the Holy Spirit is in you to continue to infuse you with that encouragement when you get discouraged. Now, while God is the source of encouragement, we know that Satan is the source of what? Discouragement. So if you're feeling discouraged today, I've got some news for you. You are under spiritual attack. If you're feeling discouraged, if your hope is gone, if you're depressed today, you are under spiritual attack. Demonic forces are coming against you, aiming to steal your joy, steal your courage, rob you of your faith. And discouragement, I believe, is one of Satan's most used weapons. His goal, I believe, is to get us so discouraged that we just throw in the towel. Just throw in the towel and say, "I give up. I give up on my marriage. You know, I give up on my faith. I've been contending for healing my body, but I haven't seen it, so I just get discouraged and I just give up." That's Satan's end goal, is to get you to throw in the towel. Now, when we get discouraged, there's sometimes that we need to encourage ourselves. That's what David did in, I think it was 1 Samuel 30. Most of you probably know the story. He and his men were away on a raiding party, military campaign, and he came back, and his enemy, the Amalekites, had come, and they had burned his city to the ground. They had kidnapped all the men, not just David's, but all the men's wives and children. They had stolen all their goods, and the only thing that left was ashes. And that's what they came back to. And you can imagine how discouraging that would be. And then on top of it, his men were so dismayed and discouraged that they began talking about stoning David. Let's take David. He's to blame. He's responsible for all of this. So let's just take him out. How many think that would have been a discouraging day for David? Can you imagine being in that situation? I mean, your family has been kidnapped, your house burned, your city burned, all of your goods gone, and then all your friends are talking about killing you. They want to take you out. And so there wasn't anybody around to encourage him at that moment. And so the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. That's the scripture, 1 Samuel 30. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, it doesn't say how he encouraged himself. I just believe that David was a man of the Word. How many know that? He wrote Psalms 1. He talked about meditating on the Word day and night. And David was a man. You read Psalms 119, and almost every scripture has to do with the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, the power of the Word of God. David was a Word man. And how did he encourage himself? Well, the Bible doesn't say, but I believe that he went back to the Word of God. He went back to the promises of God. I believe that he began to draw out of his own spirit the Word, the scriptures that he had meditated on and memorized and put in his heart over the years. And he just begin to draw those out and think about them, meditate on them, and declare those things. You know, when the enemy comes against you, you don't have time to go find a concordance and try to look up the scripture that maybe the pastor talked about 3 months ago, and where was that thing? You don't have time for that. You need to have some Word on the inside of you. You need to take time to memorize the Scripture, meditate on the Scripture, declare the Scripture in the times when there's no battle, because then when the battle comes, you are prepared. How many know, remember what Jesus did when the enemy came against him in the wilderness and attacked him 3 times with temptation? What did he do? The Bible said, he said, it is written. And he declared 3 scriptures out of the book of Deuteronomy. They only have the first 5 books of the Bible. And he said, it is written. He took the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and he drove the enemy out of his life. The Word is the only offensive weapon that we have, primarily. I guess praise and worship can fit into that category, but in Ephesians 6, where it talks about the weapons of our warfare, most of those are defensive armor, but the Word is the sword of the Spirit that we take out and drive the enemy out of our lives. So, David was a Word man. He took his eyes off his circumstances, and he put them on the promises and the nature of God. And in his darkest hour, David reminded himself who God is and what God said and what God promised and what God said he will do. He encouraged himself in the Lord. And it's important that we learn how to do that. But God also wants us to encourage one another. You out there? You gone home? You still there? God wants us to learn how to encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another. Everybody say, encourage one another. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So God knew that all of us would face seasons of discouragement. In His wisdom, He placed us in a church family, amen, of people who could encourage us when we get discouraged. And so that's why it's so important that we develop relationships. That's why it's so important that we get in these small groups so that we get in a place where there's, you know, you can't share everything, you know, good, bad, and ugly on a Sunday morning with everybody. But when you get in that small group and there's 6 or 8, 10, 12 people, then our desire is that you become transparent enough that you begin to share the things that are going on in your heart and life, some of the struggles that you have, so that people in that group can do what? They can encourage you. They can put some courage back in you. I can't encourage you if I don't know what's going on in your life. And so many times, you know, we come in here and we put our happy face on and we look like we have it all together, but we're dying on the inside. Somewhere along the lines, we need to develop some relationships to where we can get real with one another. And we can get transparent with one another. We have a sign back there that says doing life together. Now this is part of it, but the real part of it, where the rubber meets the road, is when you get together in those small groups or in those prayer meetings and you get real with somebody. And you take the mask off. And you let people know my marriage isn't perfect, is not as perfect as it looks like on Sunday mornings. Or I'm struggling with some discouragement. Or I'm feeling some hopelessness. Or I just don't understand even why I'm here. What God has in store for me. And you share those things and people can come alongside and pray for you and encourage you, speak some words of life into you. Amen? Now one of the safeguards against discouragement is staying plugged into church and staying plugged into small group and staying plugged into to prayer meeting. It's so important. Hebrews 10:24, the writer says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." Did you know that's one of your responsibilities? Look around. Your responsibility to spur everyone else on. Look at the person next to you and in front of you. You're here to spur them on to greater love and good deeds. Did you know that? Your job is not to come and sit here on Sunday morning and listen to a message and sing a few songs and go home. No, your job, your responsibility is to spur one another on, to encourage them. Come on, you can love a little bit more. You can do a little bit more for the Lord. Hallelujah. I believe in you. I see some things in you. I see some potential in you. I see some leadership ability in you. And you speak that out and you encourage them on to love and good deeds. Amen? Not giving up meeting together. Listen, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. You know, some people just, they fade away from church because they just get out of the habit. I've talked to people. They don't have any problem with the church. They like it whenever they come, which is rare, but they have just got out of the habit. They've developed the habit that they developed to stay at home. That's the habit they have. Now, that's not a good habit to have on Sunday morning. The good habit to have is coming to church. And it takes, what do they say, 21 days to develop a habit, 3 weeks. So you just come 3 weeks in a row, and you'll start developing that habit of getting back into church. It's so easy to just slip out of that habit. And listen, God loves you. You're still going to heaven. But if you're not here, you can't encourage me, and I can't encourage you. Amen? That's what the writer was saying. Don't get out of the habit, but all the more as the day approaches. And we're going to need it all the more. I believe as the day approaches, at Christ's return, that things are going to get tougher than they are right now. We're beginning to see a little bit of that happening already, even in our nation. And some of the other nations, I mean, there's all kinds of persecution happening down in South Africa. In fact, we got introduced to a pastor on Monday, and the pastor that hosted us, his name is Stanley Moodley. He is the president of Grace International South Africa. And he oversees about 250 churches. He's an apostle. He's a church planner. Constantly planting churches. So he planted this other church in another part of the city. And we got introduced to the pastor. Just a wonderful man. Kind man. Just a vision. They were in the midst of a building program. It was about half done. So that was Monday. On Wednesday, we got word that he had been shot to death. And there's a level of persecution happening in other nations that we have not even experienced. We don't know a thing about. But we might at some point. And so it will be all the more important that we stick together, that we stay plugged in, so that we can encourage one another. If you're not committed to attending church and small group, you are more vulnerable to discouragement and the attack of the enemy than the rest of us. National Geographic, they did a special on buffaloes a while back, and they studied what they called the satellite buffalo. Anybody heard that? Satellite buffalo. These were a group of buffalo that stayed a certain amount of distance from the main herd. Now, when the herd moved, they moved, but they didn't come into the herd. They stayed disconnected in a distance from the herd. And research discovered that these satellite buffaloes, they did not survive as long as the buffalo that stayed in the herd. They got picked off from predators. They got illness. They just couldn't survive as long by staying away from the herd. I'm going to guarantee you, because I've seen it happen over and over again, that you won't survive spiritually unless you stay plugged into the house, stay plugged into the local church, stay plugged into fellowship and worship, where you can be encouraged, you can hear the word, and you can encourage others. Amen? That's why Satan, I mean, he'll do everything he can to keep you out of church. Man, he'll get you offended. I think this is the number one tactic. He just tries to get you offended at somebody in the church. Well, I was walking down the hall and I said hi to them and they didn't say a word to me, and so I'm out of here. Nobody likes me. I'm just going to go out and eat worms. You get offended. How many know offense is the bait of Satan? And it will take you out of church. He'll get you distracted. So many things to get you distracted. Your recreational hobbies. Well, I'm building an addition on my house. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I just don't have time. He will get you distracted and out of church. He will tell you that church is unimportant. I don't know how many people I've talked to about that. So, well, I don't need to go to church. I just worship God up in the mountains. Well, great. You can worship God up in the mountains, but that's not what the Scripture said. How many know we got to live by what the Bible said, not by what we feel? Not by what feels good to us. Not by what the world is saying. What does the Scripture say? The Scripture says, don't forsake the assembling together of the saints. And do it all the more so you can encourage one another. Amen? Somebody say amen. That's really one of your greatest defenses against discouragement is staying plugged in to the house. Well, I want to finish. I want to give you three quick ways to encourage one another. Number one, share God's encouraging word with anybody that you run across that's discouraged. That's the way you encourage them. You don't just say, well, man, I'm sorry you're going through that. You know, tough luck. That's not going to get the job done. You share God's encouraging word. God's words are filled with faith and hope and encouragement. You're never going to find more encouraging words on the planet than in the Bible. Between Genesis and Revelation and the Scriptures, they are absolutely power-packed, full of encouragement and hope. Amen? So when we share God's promises with a discouraged person, we are infusing courage into their soul. Amen? The word encourage means to put courage back into the soul that has been drained of courage through the disappointing circumstances of life. Think about that. That we literally have the power to infuse courage into the soul of somebody that has gone through circumstances, man, health problems or, you know, crisis or whatever, just circumstances that have drained them of their confidence and their courage. We can come alongside, take the Word of God, speak that into their life, and just put courage back into them. Amen. Isaiah 50, verse 4, in the Message version, said, God has given me a well-taught tongue so that I know how to encourage tired people. God has given me a well-taught tongue. Why? So I know how to encourage tired people. People weary. People that are just burnt out. People that are discouraged. They've just been beat up by life. But God has given me a well-taught tongue. So I know how to encourage them. He wakes me up. How does He do that? He wakes me up in the morning. And He opens my ears. As one ready to take orders, the Master God opened my ears and I didn't go back to sleep. I didn't hit the snooze button. I didn't pull the covers back over my head. Did you know that God desires to wake you up in the morning, in the early morning of the hours, or early morning hours, and speak some words to you and highlight some scripture when you open your Bible and you're just reading along and all of a sudden just something stands out and that's life to you? Well, God intends that to be life to you, but He also intends it to be life to somebody else, and He wakes you up in the morning and gives you that word not only to minister to you, but as you go through your day, God's going to have you encounter somebody that's downhearted, discouraged, and depressed, and you are not ill-equipped. You are ready because God has given you that word, and when you run across that person, you can speak that word into their life and encourage their soul. That's what God wants to do with every single one of us. Every morning, we can wake up and say, God, speak to my heart, not just for me, but I want to be a vessel of speaking life and encouragement into others that I run into throughout the day. Amen. God's Word is perfectly designed to encourage a discouraged person. Romans 15:4 says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught by Scripture, listen, the encouragement that Scripture provides, we might have hope. Through the encouragement that Scripture provides, we might have hope. You know, I've shared this story a number of times, but I know you probably get tired of these stories. You've heard them several times, but there's often a few new people. I'm talking to them right now. But I went through a very discouraging season in my life after my dad had passed away, and we were pastoring the church, and it was a dark season for a lot of different reasons. Some of our members decided they wanted to leave. You know, I wasn't like my dad. I wasn't didn't fit the bill or whatever. And then there's some other folks that were, they decided to stay, but they were just kind of negative and kind of talking behind my back, and those things kind of circulated around. And I just got discouraged. I just frankly got discouraged, and I wanted to quit. I told the Lord I did not sign up for this. This is not what I wanted. I can go do other things. I was doing something before I got here. I can go do that again. I can do something else. And he said, no, you stay until I tell you to go. You're here until I release you from your assignment. But there was a friend of my grandmother. His name was Beth Seiler. And I didn't know her very well, but you know, I met her a few times, and very dear friend of my grandmother. And for whatever reason, she loved me. She just loved me. You know how sometimes you love people and you don't even know why? Just God puts it in your heart. And so she just loved me for whatever reason. I guess prayed for me a lot. But she just called me one night in the middle of that darkest time of my life. Called me one night, answered the phone. She said, this is Beth. She said, I was praying for you, and God gave me three scriptures that He wants me to share with you. And she gave me those three scriptures, and I don't really actually remember two of them, but one of them stuck with me, and I've never forgot. It was Isaiah 41:10. And she was speaking this, as she was speaking this over the phone, it was like Jesus Himself was speaking this word into my heart. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. And I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I'm telling you, it just felt like Jesus was speaking that word into my soul. I can't describe the encouragement that came. And I got a hold of that word, man. I got a hold of that scripture. And for the next several months, I quoted that every single day, several times a day. I'd be coming, driving up to church, quoting that, going back home, quoting that, in the shower, quoting that. Fear not, for God is with me. Hallelujah. Be not dismayed. And I was dismayed. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I began to realize it wasn't about my strength. It wasn't about my ability. It was God in me. It was all about Him. I will strengthen you. I will help you. And I will uphold you. I can't go under because God was holding me up. And it's the same word for you. Whatever you're going through, you can't go under if you're allowing God to hold you up. If you're depending on Him, if you're looking... Now, if you're looking to your own self and your own resources, you may go under. But if you are depending on God, you say, God, I can't handle this myself. I can't do it myself. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to fix the problem. It's like Jehoshaphat when he said, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Three armies were coming against him. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. When you get your eyes on Jesus, He will put His right, powerful, mighty right hand under you, and you cannot go under. Amen. You cannot fail. You cannot fail with the Holy Spirit in you, empowering you. Hallelujah. Well, I got to hurry. Here's the second point. Second way that we can encourage people is to point out their spiritual growth. Point out their spiritual growth. You know, generally, we're the last people on the planet to see our spiritual growth. You know, we see our mistakes, we see our problems, but we don't see our growth. You know, we have 20/20 vision when it comes to our faults and failures, but we're as blind as a bat when it comes to seeing our spiritual growth. Isn't that true? Am I talking to the right people today? I mean, that's how I deal. That's how I roll. You know, I'm quick to see my failures, quick to see my faults. But the spiritual growth, man, I just hope something's happening there. And so we need others to point out for us our spiritual growth, that we can be encouraged that God has not given up on us. Hallelujah. That He has begun a good work in us. We'll perform that work until the day of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, he made a habit of pointing out people's spiritual growth. 2 Thessalonians 1:3, he said, We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so. Listen, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. So basically, he's come alongside, hey guys, I just want to encourage you. Man, I see some things happen in your life. Man, your faith is growing. Your love is growing. I mean, you're doing good. And I'm so proud of you. He's like a spiritual father coming along. I'm just proud of you because I see some things happening in your life. Paul was encouraging them. And everyone is encouraged when we know that we are actually growing spiritually. We're making progress. Amen? You know, when my kids were growing up, we had a place in the house where we would back them up against the wall, and we would measure them, and we'd put a mark there, and they're, you know, by their name. And then 6 months later, you know, we'd measure them again, and of course they had grown, and they always got so excited to see that they had grown. You know, hey, I'm growing up. And guess what? You and I get excited when somebody, and encouraged when somebody points out that we are growing in our faith. Have you noticed anybody growing spiritually that, you know, maybe they seem to have more of a passion for God than they used to, or they're more Christ-like than they used to be, or they've overcome some kind of an addiction in their life, or maybe they're just more kind and self-controlled than they used to be. Maybe you see that they're a better husband, a better wife, a better parent than they used to be. Or maybe they've just improved in their ministry area. And you've just noticed that. Have you told them? Have you pointed that out? When you do, it can bring great encouragement. Here's my final point. Final way that we can encourage one another. I think I had 5 points on the outline. I'm just doing 3 today. Give you a break. Here's the 3rd way we can encourage. Pray for people who you know are discouraged. So pray. So, 1, we can speak words of encouragement, speak the Scripture into them. 2, we can point out their spiritual growth. And 3, when we know that somebody's going through a hard time, we know that they're discouraged, we can pray for them. People who are discouraged are under the attack from the enemy. Amen? It's not just some mental thing. It's not just some emotional thing. If you are discouraged and depressed and despondent, you are under spiritual attack. How many know we are in a war? Spiritual war. We have an unseen enemy. And he's attacking us at every angle, every way possible. And often, you know, people, they've gone through some adverse circumstances that have brought them to the place of discouragement. And Satan always, man, he doesn't play fair. He will jump on that. He will bombard those people with discouragement, one discouraging thought after the other. And there's times, you know, sometimes we're strong enough we can encourage ourselves when we get discouraged. But there's other times when the battle is so intense that we don't have the power, we don't have the strength, we don't have the ability to encourage ourselves. We need others to come alongside and speak that word and encourage us and then pray for us. Pray for us. You know, prayer is standing in the gap for someone. It's seeing God's here, that person is there, they need to move closer to God. So we stand in the gap and say, God, whatever needs to happen in their life, do it. Break the power of darkness. We bind the assignment of the enemy. How many know we can bind and loose? And when you see somebody discouragement, there's an assignment of hell against them to bring them down, to bring that place of darkness and blackness and discouragement. We can do something about that. We can pray. I mean, you don't have to pray elaborate prayers. You can just pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, I lift up Bill. I know he's discouraged, he's going through it, but I bind the works of darkness right now that is coming against him. Satan, I cancel your assignment. And Lord, I pray that hope and courage and confidence will rise up in him in Jesus' name. It's as simple as that. How long did that take? We can be like Aaron and Hur, who held up the arms of Moses in the day of battle. When his arms begin to grow weary and he lowered those arms, they begin to lose the battle. But Aaron and Hur came alongside and supported and lifted up his arms. And that's what we can do with one another through prayer. You know, even Jesus, in his darkest hour, Jesus needed his disciples, needed his friends to pray. He said, could you not pray with me for 1 hour? He needed, even Jesus himself, in that dark, discouraging time, needed the prayers of others to encourage him. Let me end with this. One of the outstanding men in the book of Acts is a man named Barnabas. Barnabas was not actually his real name. His real name was Joseph. But he had the nickname Barnabas. I mean, everybody called him Barnabas. Why? Why'd they do that? Well, he actually earned that name. The name Barnabas means son of encouragement. And Barnabas had such a ministry of encouragement that he just earned the name son of encouragement. I mean, see, apparently everywhere he went, he encouraged people. He'd come to church, he encouraged people. He'd go to small group, he encouraged people. He'd see you in the, you know, in the aisle at the grocery store, and he would just encourage you. Everywhere he went, he was speaking life and confidence and encouragement. And pretty soon, people just started calling him son of encouragement. There comes son of encouragement, Barnabas. What would happen in our church, or in your home, or in your business, if we operated that way? You know, it's so easy to see the negative in people. It's so easy to judge people. It's so easy to criticize people. I believe criticism is the language of the devil. I really do. It comes straight from hell. What would happen if we just flipped that around? And instead of seeing the negative, instead of judging people, instead of criticizing people, man, we would look for the positive. And we just begin to encourage people, look for ways to encourage, celebrate their spiritual growth, let them know when they're doing a good job. And I think it would just change the atmosphere of this church, change the atmosphere of your home. Tony Evans said this, if you learn to identify with others in their pain and you encourage them in the hard times, you become the hands and feet of Jesus Christ to those around you. So we can become encouragers when we share the Word of God. You can do it in person. You can write a note. You can text somebody a scripture. We can encourage them. What's the second way? Anybody remember? This is a test. I'm not hearing you. Point out their spiritual growth. And then number three, we can encourage them by what? Praying for them. Share the Word of God. Point out their spiritual growth. And then pray for those that are in the battle of discouragement. Let's stand this morning. I can't preach a message like this without praying for anybody that might be discouraged. So, if that is you, and there's no shame in getting discouraged, it happens to all of us. If for whatever reason, the circumstances, and you just know that you're spiritually down in the dumps, you're discouraged, you're dismayed, you've kind of lost hope and confidence, kind of lost your dreams, I want to pray for you today. Would you just raise your hand? I'll see it, God will see it. And mostly you're raising right before God and saying, God, I'm in that place. I can identify with what Pastor's saying today, and I could use some encouragement. Keep your hands up. Just keep your hands up. Look around and find somebody with their hands up. Lay your hands on them. Let's have some body ministry. Let's just pray for one another just for a moment as we end here. We need to pray. There's power in prayer. Hallelujah. Father, we just come alongside our brothers today and sisters that are experiencing discouragement. And in the name of Jesus, we bind and cancel the assignment of hell against them. We bind every spirit of discouragement, every lie of the enemy. The enemy's lying to some of you, and you're believing those lies, and that's why you're discouraged. That's why it's so important to come to church, hear the truth, get in the Word, hear the truth. The truth will set you free. But I bind those lies right now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, expose them. Reveal them. Pull the cover off. The enemy's subtle. He likes guerrilla warfare. He likes to work behind the scenes and sow those seeds of fear and doubt and discouragement and lies. God, I just pray You'd shine the light on that. That every one of our brothers and sisters would just suddenly realize, these are not my thoughts. These are the thoughts of the enemy. I take them captive. I reject them. I bind the lies. I'm not going to live in those lies. I'm not going to believe those lies. I believe the report of the Lord. I believe what God says about me. I believe what God says about my home. I believe what God says about my children. I believe what God says about my future and my health and my finances. Every promise of God is yes. Not maybe, not sometimes, but yes. And we say the amen to the glory of God. Hallelujah. Let truth rise up within them. Let the truth of God, we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Strengthen your people. Let courage, 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 and confidence come back into. Infuse them with your strength, Lord. Give them fresh hope. Give them fresh ideas. Hallelujah. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. If God be for us, who can be against us? If you don't know any other scripture, look that up in Romans 8. Memorize that. If God be for me, who can be against me? If God be for me, who can be against me? He who did not spare His own Son, but He gave Him up for us all, how will He not also give us everything else that we need? Hallelujah. And then Peter said, everything that we need for life and godliness, God has given us. There's so much truth, so much encouragement in Scripture. Get into the Word of God. Hallelujah. Pour out Your Spirit upon Your people. And Lord, help us to be encouragers. Make us to be like Barnabas. God, we're not going to see the negative. We're going to leave that to You. But we're going to point out the positive. Bless this church with a spirit of encouragement. And we thank You for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's been good to be in God's house. Lord bless you. Have a good Sunday afternoon.